Let's take our Bibles, and I want you to turn to the book of Ruth. Ruth. If you're looking through your Bible, you come to like 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, you just missed it. It's just before 1 Samuel, right after Judges, Joshua, Judges. You'll see Ruth is right in that, just before those books. We've heard a lot about, you've heard this term before, the kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer. In the book of Ruth, in chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, it's recorded, it says, "And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." A near kinsman. That is, one that hath the right to redeem. Now, this book, one day, Lord willing, I'll just go verse by verse. I'm going to go kind of through this book. There's four chapters in the book of Ruth. I'm going to go through and touch a few verses here and there. But I want us to consider this glorious position, title, of a near kinsman, a kinsman redeemer. Almighty God established by His law that there was going to be a redeemer, a near kinsman redeemer for one group of people. There's only one group of people that have a redeemer. There's only one. And it was the Jews. The Jews are the only ones that have a Redeemer. But that does not mean that Jews, the natural Jews, as I've said over there across the ocean, is who I'm talking about. He is not a Jew that is one outwardly. That's what Paul said. Paul was a Jew, but he's a Jew that's one inwardly. I'm speaking of spiritual Jews. Now, spiritual Jews are God's elect. They're the people of God's pleasure, those that He's everlastingly loved, those that He's chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. They are the spiritual Jews and are the only people in this world that have a Redeemer. They're the only ones. Almighty God declared, He told Moses, when Moses said, "Show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I'll have compassion." You've heard that. We've read that, quoted that. Now the book of Ruth sets forth this glorious picture and type of the kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the redeemer, the near kinsman redeemer, near kin of His people. Let's look at this right here. This book speaks of numerous people, but there's two people in particular that it deals with, and it deals with a woman named Ruth. She was a Moabite. A Moabite. Now, if you don't know where the Moabites came from, I'll tell you where they came from. You remember when Lot was taken out of Sodom? And God Almighty delivered Lot and his wife and his two daughters out of Sodom. And told them, said, "You get out, but don't look back. You just, but his wife looked back. God turned her into a pillar of salt. So there was Lot and his two daughters left. As far as they knew, the whole world was destroyed. As far as they knew, God rained fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah, and they, as far as they knew, this was it. But they knew that God had promised that there was going to be of the seed of woman. There was going to be a Messiah. And these two daughters of Lot, they said, "Look, we don't have any children." So what they did, you know what they did. One of them laid with her, got her dad drunk, laid with him one night. She conceived. Next night, got him drunk again, and the other one laid with him, and she conceived too. And one of those girls, they both had children. One of those children, one of those boys, was the father of the Moabites. Moabites. Land of Moab. And out of an incestuous relationship, the Moabites were born. And this woman, Ruth, was out of Moab. A cursed nation. A Moabite. And it also speaks of a man named Boaz. He was a wealthy landowner, a righteous man, out of the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And here's Boaz, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ruth, a Moabite, is a picture of all God's elect. Wicked nation, lost, separated from God. So that's where we are. That's who we're talking about. Now, let's look in the book of Ruth for a few minutes. Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife, his two sons, and the name of the man was Elimelech. Name of his wife, Naomi. Name of their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left, her two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. Name of one was Orpah. Name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Now God had caused a great famine to be in the land of Elimelech and Naomi in Bethlehem, Judah. Elimelech, his name means "My God is King." And his wife, Naomi, her name means "my delight." And he had two sons. Mahlon, his name means "sick." And his brother, Chilion, means "pining." That is, mentally or physically wasting away. And they left. They left the house of bread. They left Bethlehem, Judah, to live in a country called Moab. Moab. A country whose name, according to Psalm 60, verse 8, means washpot. That is, a place to wash your hands, your feet. Just a country put in subjection to God's people. And these two boys, they each married women from Moab. Orpah means gazelle, and Ruth means friendship. Well, in time, Naomi's husband, Elimelech, and her two boys, they died. And here's now Naomi and her daughters-in-law. They're left to fare for themselves. And they've come to poverty. And in time, verse 6, They heard that God had visited Bethlehem, Judah, with bread. And the Lord just revealed to them there's some food back in Bethlehem, Judah. So Naomi says to her two daughters-in-law, I'm going to go back to Bethlehem, Judah. I don't have anything left here. I'm destitute. Well, along the way, Naomi encourages both of her daughters-in-law to go back. I want you to go back. Why don't y'all go back and start over? It appeared that, it seemed for a while that maybe both of them, look at verse 10, was going to do it. And it says, they say unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. We're going to go back with you. And but that didn't prove to be the case. Before they reached Bethlehem, Judah, verse 14, one of them decided, well, I'm going back. I'm going to, verse 14 says they lifted up their voice, wept, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Orpah, she listened to her mother-in-law, and Naomi told him, said, look, I'm not going to do you any good. If I remarried today and had kids today, would you stay up and wait for them till they grew up? And she said, y'all go on back. And Orpah, said, I think that's what I'm going to do. She went back to that heathen place, went back to her gods. But here's what Ruth said. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. My people shall be, thy people shall be my people. Thy God be my God. Where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part of thee. So these two went on. Now, it was amazing. I read that passage of Scripture, and here's what Naomi did. She told these two girls, two of them from Moab, didn't know God, they just cursed people in a cursed land. And Naomi said, y'all go on back. One of them did. But the other one didn't. Why didn't she go? Prevenient grace. Grace kept her there. Why? This woman is an object of God's mercy. This is an object, a vessel of God's everlasting love. And we're going to see, God's going to show mercy to that woman, Ruth. There wasn't any difference in her and Orpah, her sister. They were both dug out of the same pit, slough of despond, just like all of us. There's nobody in here. We're in ourselves, we're not worth anything. Crown of our head, sole of our foot, we're all as an unclean thing. The only difference in one over the other is the grace of God. Almighty God moved upon Naomi that you tell Orpah and Ruth to go back. And Naomi said, y'all go back. One of them did and one of them didn't. You think about this. If the Lord's given you a heart to stay, somebody comes up, you that believe, let me ask you this. Why don't you go back? Kevin, why don't you go on back? Why don't you go over and sit under something that honors man? Talks about man's free will. Why don't you go on back? But for the grace of God, you would. You'd leave. But by God's grace, this woman, Ruth, she said, I'm not going back. I'm not leaving. Will you go away also? Peter said, where are we going to go? Where am I going to go? The only hope I've got is Christ. I'm going to be where He's honored. I'm going to be where He's praised. I'm going to be where He's preached. And any place that He's not honored, I ain't going back. If He slays me, if I die in this place, I'm going to die trusting Him. But I'm not going back. But for the grace of God, everybody would go back. Well, Naomi and Ruth, they go on in. They come back to Bethlehem, Judah. And upon entering in, and they Scripture says, verse 1 and verse 19, they went till they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi? Is that Naomi that went out with Elimelech and her two boys?" They looked at her, and she was broken. She was a broken woman. How do you know? He says, well, verse 20, she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi. Don't call me pleasant anymore. Call me Mara. Call me bitter. God's dealt bitterly with me. God's taught me something. Lord brought me down." He said, I went out full. I went out with a husband and some sons. And I had some integrity. And she said, I've come back empty, broken, penniless. Don't call me that anymore. Well, Scripture says in chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech. This was Elimelech's kinsman. This was Elimelech's kinsman, which meant that this was Naomi's kinsman. Everything that belonged to Elimelech belonged to his wife, Naomi. And so it says, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, mighty man of valor of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth, the Moabitess, said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Just went out there and she got to looking around and she thought, "Well, yeah, I think I'll go here. Yeah, I think I'll just have." She just, as far as she was concerned, her hap, just lucky. Her hap was to go over here to a place, a field, and there was some reapers out there. And she said, "I think I'll just go over there." But you know the steps of God's people are ordered by the Lord, aren't they? It wasn't luck. It put Ruth in Boaz's field. Almighty God had determined before the foundation of the world. This is where Ruth's going to leave Naomi's house one morning. She's going to go out to glean and she's going to Boaz's field. That's where she's going. Predestinated unto the adoption of children. What does that mean? Their destination was determined beforehand. That means predestinated. That's what it means. This is where you're going to go. This is where you're going to step. Why am I right here? Now I've told you before, I've got four people. This is all of my natural family. This is all we got left right here of my natural earthborn family. It's just five of us sitting here this morning, all five. And I can tell you this for a fact, all four of them would give a test to me. You know, you talk about a woman out of Moab. I'm going to tell you something. This is a fella out of Moab right here. How in the world did I ever end up standing in this pulpit right here? There ain't a bit of difference between me and anybody else. Almighty God determined for the foundation of the world. He's going to do like he did Jeremiah. He said, "Before I formed you in the belly, I ordained you a prophet." That's what he said. Well, her hap So she goes out, and here she is in this field of Boaz. And here's Boaz. Now remember, a beautiful picture of Christ. And he looks upon Ruth. Here a picture of God's elect. Verse 5, chapter 2. Boaz said unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Who is that? And then the scripture says, he looked at her and he says, after hearing, he said, that's Ruth. She's a Moabite. She came out of Moab when Naomi came back. Remember Elimelech? Her husband died and her two boys, and Ruth came back and brought this woman with her. That's who he... And the scripture says in verse 8, then said Boaz unto Ruth, he said, now you hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. This is what he said. I want you to gather your food right here where my field is. That's what God Almighty, by His Holy Spirit, says to His people. You stay right here where there's bread, where the bread of heaven is being set forth. You set forth where you can feast upon spiritual bread. You stay right here. This is where I want you to stay. So Boaz, as the Lord does for His own, He instructed His laborers. He said, you leave her alone, and Ruth's heart, seeing that kindness that was shown unto him, said, like in verse 11, and it said, when she asked him, she said, I'm a stranger, in verse 10. Said, I found grace in your sight. What is it that you should take knowledge of me, verse 10, seeing I'm a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it had fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father, thy mother, the land of thy nativity. You come into a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Boaz said, I know all about you. I know everything about you. Let me ask you this. What does the omniscient, you know what that means? All-knowing God. What does He know about His people? He knows everything about them. Boaz told her, he said, I know it's been shown me the kindness that you've shown to your mom-in-law. He said, I know you left your father and mother. You left the land of your nativity and you came to a place that you knew nothing about. Is that not what the Spirit of God causes God's elect to do? They leave father, mother, land, so-called security, and God draws them out. He said, come out from among them. Be separate. And that's what they do. Somebody would say, you mean tell me you leave your father and mother and you leave the security where you know? Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I'll do. I've told you before. My mama, she was one of 12. One of 12. 12 children. Youngest of 12 children. They're all gone. Except one. As far as I know, God called one out of darkness and unbelief. One. Why did He have mercy on my mama and pass the others by? Because He said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom. Boaz told her, he said, I know what you've done. I tell you, Almighty God, He looks upon His people and that which He has wrought in them. Faithful is He who calleth you, who will also do it. The Lord works in His people, giving them faith to believe and then honors what He's wrought in His people. When He says unto His elect in that final day, separates the sheep from the goats, and says to them, enter in, thou faithful, good, faithful. All that righteousness earned by the Lord Jesus Christ and charged to God's elect is theirs. That woman that had an issue of blood, she came to the Lord Jesus Christ. She done spent all of her money on doctors. She was none the better. And she came to him and she touched the hem of his garment. Just he stopped. He said, who touched me? The disciples said, everybody touched you. They're all around you. What do you mean? He said, no, virtue has left me. Somebody touched me by faith. Where'd she get the faith? He gave it to her. It's given unto you to believe. And then he turned around and honored what he had done for her. He said, woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Boaz told Ruth, he said, I know what you've done. You've treated your mother-in-law with respect. You left your mother, father. You left the land of your nativity. Then he told his reapers, he said, this woman right here, you see that woman right there? He said, all these others, they're going out here and picking up the crumbs. Just a little bit of, you know, a little stick, you know, piece of weed or something, little bit of ear or something. He said, I want you to lay handfuls on purpose for her. He said, don't you just happen to leave this. I want you to leave piles of stuff for her. Well, they did. And the scripture says that Ruth went out there and she was picking up handfuls on purpose. Doesn't God bless his people with abundance? You ever just, there's times you hear the gospel preaching, it's just more than you can contain, and you just, in your heart, you just want to cry. You just think, this is so good. This is more than I can contain. This is handfuls. How did it get there? The Lord left it on purpose for me to grasp hold of it by faith and believe it. Well, Ruth came home from gleaning one day, and she brought in all that she picked up. And Naomi said, verse 19, her mother-in-law said to her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought. And she said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi heard that. She said, Boaz. She said in verse 20, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said to her, the man is near kin unto us, one of our near kinsmen. She said, praise the Lord. Do you have any idea who that is? Boaz? She said, Boaz is my and your near kinsman because of Elimelech. That's Elimelech, my husband that died. That's his near kinsman. And what I want you to do is you listen to what I say. I want you to go and look at verse 4, a verse of chapter 3. I want you to go. Verse 3 says, wash thyself therefore, anoint thee, put thy raiment on thee, get thee down to the floor, but make not thyself known to the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. I want you to know something. Elimelech, my husband, related that man. That makes me and you his near kinsman. And we're family now. We're one. And I want you to go down there and listen to what that man has to say. And it shall be, verse 4, when he lieth down, I want you to mark the place where he lies, go in, uncover his feet, lay down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. So Ruth did just exactly what her mother-in-law told her to do. And in chapter 3 and verse 8, the scripture said, came to pass at midnight. The man was afraid, turned himself, behold a woman, laid his feet. He said, who art thou? She answered, I'm Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than in the beginning. Inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor, rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people does know thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there's a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee as the Lord liveth. Lie down until the morning. Now, here's let me tell you the real quickly as I wrap this up. Let me tell you the what a near kinsman was responsible for. God Almighty had ordained that the nation of Israel, natural Israel, here spiritually speaking, you'll understand what I'm saying, they could not forever lose their inheritance. They couldn't lose their inheritance. When they came out of Egypt, and God divided up the land of Canaan, that belongs to you. That belongs to you, your family. This was according to the law, picture, until the Lord Jesus Christ came and fulfilled all these pictures and types. This was what was being set forth in the Old Testament. If you had some land and it belonged to you, you couldn't lose it forever. If you fell on hard times and you had to mortgage your property, well, you had to survive. You had to sell it, mortgage it. But in the year of Jubilee, there was going to be a settling of all the accounts. That land's going to come back. Here's the picture that's being told. Whatever Almighty God has eternally purposed to give His people, even in their fall, Larry and Adam, they still couldn't lose that inheritance. If Almighty God has made a sinner, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. I tell you, Adam's rebellion could never separate them from that inheritance. They're going to have it. They're going to have it. But how are they going to have it? Well, they're going to have a near kinsman redeemer to do something for them. What did the near kinsman redeemer do? Well, first of all, if somebody, a Jew, now only a Jew, a picture of the spiritual Jews. If they had mortgaged their property, the near kinsman, he had to, in full, pay the full price. What's that property worth? Whatever the property is worth, the near kinsman has to become responsible for the debt. The near kinsman, he's responsible for the debt. And he's going to have to deliver back to the one that had mortgaged his property, what he lost. Secondly, he was going to have to restore all the privileges that were forfeited because of the indebtedness and put him back in good standing with the people. Almighty God was offended in Adam's fall. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm going to restore that which I took not away. Separated from God. Outcast. No peace. And the Lord Jesus Christ established peace before God. Reconciliation. All broke back. But there was one more stipulation. With that responsibility to redeem the land, there was another one. If there was no children to continue the name. Let's see. Okay, so you can understand where I'm going. Elimelech had two boys. And his two boys died. Elimelech now his inheritance, Naomi sold the land. Because she's destitute. And that land, who did that land belong to? Well, it belonged to Elimelech and Naomi, because she was married with him. But Naomi has sold the land. And it's going to have to be, something's going to have to be done about that. Whose land does that belong to? Well, it belonged to Elimelech. And what's going to happen? Well, it's going to have to be redeemed. Why? Because that belongs to, but Elimelech doesn't have an heir. His two boys didn't have kids. So what's going to have to happen? How are we going to settle this thing? Going to have an heir, you know, for the lineage to continue. Well, if there was no children to continue the name of the deceased husband, the widow of the deceased must be married by the near kinsman in order that an heir be raised up for the deceased, so that their name, their lineage, it continues. That's the law of the near kinsman. That's the way it's going to be done. That's the way it has to be done. Well, Ruth comes and she says to Boaz, she said, you're my near kinsman. I'm part of this family. And so you're her, Naomi's near kinsman, so you're mine too. And when she laid down at his feet and told him, "This, you're my near kinsman," he knew just exactly what the rule was, what the law was. He knew what it was. He said, I'll do it. He said, but now, listen, he said, there is a nearer kinsman than me. And so he's going to have to be dealt with first. Now, if he'll redeem you, it falls on him. But if he doesn't, or he can't, or whatever, then he said, I will. And she said, okay. Well, the next morning, chapter 4, then went Boaz up to the gate, set him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, and unto whom he said, oh, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and he said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. There's going to be some witnesses now. This is going to be done right. It's going to be done open. It's not going to be done in a closet, you know, behind closed doors. No shady dealings. This is all going to be done according to the law, according to right. He said to the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was her brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, I thought to be able to reveal it to you in your ear, saying, buy it before the inhabitants, before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it besides thee. And I after thee. And he said, that is the one that was nearest, he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy also Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. This was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Now this is what just happened. Boaz said, I will redeem you, but there's a closer one than me. And we're going to have to talk to him first. Basically, this is what Boaz said. There's somebody that holds the first mortgage on you. And it's going to have to be done right. It's going to have to be done openly. And this man's going to have these things heard in his ear, and it's going to have to be taken care of, and it's going to have to be fair, and it's going to have to be done before these witnesses. So he called him, sat down with the 10 elders, and he asked the first mortgage holder, will you redeem the land of Elimelech that Naomi sold into bondage? You're the nearest kinsman. You got first right. You got first priority. You hold the first mortgage. You're the nearest kinsman, and you have the right of redemption. But if you will not redeem the land, then I will. First mortgage holder says, I will redeem it. And Boaz said, that's fine. But one other stipulation here. There's a woman involved in this thing. And her name is Ruth. And she's Naomi's daughter-in-law, which makes Ruth also part of this deal. All this land's got to be redeemed. Ruth is going to have to be taken care of too, because she's part of the family. And what that means is, according to the law, you're going to have to marry Ruth to raise up an heir so that the lineage of Elimelech doesn't evaporate, because Elimelech's two boys didn't have any children. So it's your responsibility. Well, here's the spiritual type. The Lord Jesus Christ is the kinsman redeemer. But there's one that holds the first mortgage on all of God's elect when it comes to deliverance and freedom from the bondage and indebtedness, and that's the law of God. That's God's law. We're not going to be able to bypass God's law. People preaching a message today, and it says all you got to do is just, the Lord wants to forgive you, and just all you got to do is just believe, and the Lord says you're into heaven. Well, we got one problem here. God is just. God is just. And the law of God is going to have to be considered here. First, the Lord said, I'm a just God and a Savior. And so Boaz, a picture of the Lord Jesus, says to the nearest kinsman, the law, if you're a redeemer, you're a redeemer. But for you to redeem Naomi's property, here's what you're going to have to do for Ruth. Absolute justice is going to have to be honored. You're going to have to pay off her debt. Everything that Elimelech's wife Naomi sold, you're going to have to buy it back and pay for it. And it's going to have to be done to the penny, whatever's the going rate. You're going to have to show her mercy and compassion. You're going to have to become her nature. You're going to have to marry her and live for her and die for her. You're going to have to answer every demand and infraction for justice that she's ever incurred. And you're going to have to restore everything that she ever lost. In Adam's fall, every bit of it is going to have to be given back. And mercy. You're going to have to finish the work of redemption. And you're going to have to make her holy and fit for heaven. An heir of God. You're going to have to give her a right to everything that God's promised to all who have been found faithful and righteous and holy. You're going to have to forgive her of all her trespasses and sins. And the law said, I can't do that. I can't do that. If I do that, I'm going to mar or I'm going to destroy my own inheritance. Here's what the one that holds the first mortgage, the law says. She's a sinner. And the soul that sins is going to die. The wages of sin is death. To show mercy where wrath is due will mar mine inheritance. Here's what the law says. I will in no wise clear the guilty. She's a Moabite. She's a sinner. She's an outcast. I am not going to redeem her. And Boaz, spiritually speaking, of the blessed, willing, Abel, kinsman redeemer, says, I will. I will. I want you to lay all her debt. What does she owe? What does Ruth and Naomi owe? What do they owe? Well, they owe everything. What's it going to cost? What's it going to cost? What's the cost? Death. Death. That's the only payment. That's the only payment that'll pay. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. No remission of sins. None. You lay all of her debt to my account, and I'm going to answer. And I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pay her debt, and I'm going to restore unto her all that she lost in Adam's fall. I'm going to restore that which I took not away. And I'm going to take that filthy sinner, that Moabite, and I'm going to robe her in my robe, in the robe of righteousness. I'm going to live for her. I'm going to die for her. And I'm going to make her accepted in me. And that's exactly what Boaz did for Ruth. Look at verse 7. This was the manner in Israel concerning redeeming, concerning changes for to confirm all the things. A man plucked off his shoe, gave it to his neighbor. This was a testimony. It was Old Testament custom. Go back and read. I can tell you this. It's in Deuteronomy 25, verses 7 to 9. I can tell you exactly what it says. You go back and read it. If there was a kinsman redeemer, a near kinsman redeemer, and they could not or would not, that's what this nearest one said, I can't do that. Okay. The wife in the Old Testament would come to the one that could not do it, would not do it, and she would take off his shoe and spit in front of him. And it was a sign of reproach. You were the nearest kinsman, and you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. And he went through with that reproach. He was the man without the shoe. Back in Ruth right here, the scripture says, the man that wouldn't do it, verse 7, to confirm all things, the man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. This was the testimony. Therefore, verse 8, the kinsman said to Boaz, buy it for thee. And he drew off his own shoe. He said, you're the one that's worthy, not me. You're the one that's worthy to redeem. You're the one that's due all the honor and glory and praise unto this woman right here. So Boaz, verse 13, took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception. She bare a son. And the scripture says, women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that this his name may be famous in Israel. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and it became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there's a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He's the father of Jesse, father of David. Now let me tell you, here was a woman. She was a Moabite. Picture of every one of God's elect sheep born in Adam. All of them. Outcast. Spiritual heathens. And Almighty God sent a famine to Bethlehem to make Elimelech and Naomi, her two boys, go to Moab. Why? Because there was one of God's sheep there. And one of those boys married that woman. And then God killed him. And took that woman out of Moab, took her out of darkness, brought her to the house of bread. That's what God does for all his sheep, brings them to the house of bread, and caused her to cross paths with a man named Boaz, picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God does. He causes his people to cross paths with Christ through the hearing of the gospel, the message of Christ. And Boaz loved her. Christ everlastingly loved his people. He gave Boaz a heart to redeem her. That's what Christ did for his own. They got married. And they had a son. His name was Obed. Obed. You know who Obed was? That was Jesse's dad. Now who's Jesse? That was David's dad. And just not many generations later, right on down the line, here was the Lord Jesus. He was born. Almighty God caused a wretched heathen woman, just like all of us, brought him to himself, taught her the gospel, redeemed her, and showed that through her, Christ was born. Can you imagine? Everything that Boaz had. He was a wealthy landowner. Everything that Boaz had was Ruth's. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I pray God bless this message to our hearts for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, let's take